I'm not forcing it. I'm just, it's like improv.
See, even right now, you're like, oh, maybe we can use this. And this is
no, I'm not.
Unusable. I know you are.
I'm not. It's bullshit. I did not.
See, we're not, no, shut up. For September 24th, 2010. This is Mike Minotti, and I'm joined by my brother, Edge Guy.
Hello.
And our good friend, Joey Chu.
Hi.
Hello. So, here's what we're doing today. We're going to start off with the news, go to the quiz. We got Let's Go Topical, our week in gaming, and the releases, and that'll be the show. So, let's just get to it. What's the news, Edge Guy?
Did you see the BioShock Infinite trailer?
Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Oh, man, was it awesome.
I was almost kind of skeptical of it, but it's weird because like, there's certain things that are like, okay, yeah, that looks like a game, and other things that's hard to believe almost.
I'm just, what I want to know if it's real or not is how the guy's like just shouting like appropriate witticisms to everything he's doing.
Well, that doesn't seem that far-fetched.
But like, imagine that times 8 hours.
I mean, he wasn't like saying anything that I don't think anybody... It seemed like he was just saying things that would have to be said. He was just reacting to other characters. He wasn't necessarily acting to, like, very random situations.
It was really cool, though.
It was cool. It was nothing like unlike what Nathan Drake does.
I guess, yeah.
It's kind of weird to hear your character
talk.
Yeah,
it was kind of weird. Does anyone know the voice actor? Because for a few seconds there, I was tricked. I was like, my mind was playing tricks on me. I was like, is that Nolan North again? I hope if not, but...
It didn't sound like Nolan North to me.
Like I don't think they've announced that information.
No, it just sounded like some dude. Hard to tell.
But yeah, the whole Skyway battling looks pretty cool, and that just looks like a fun way to get around in the game, too, I think.
Are these things called plasmids that he's drinking, or do they have a different name?
I don't know if they've said or not.
Are they just tonics?
They might be.
I'd be kind of disappointed if there was at least some sort of effort to connect all this to the real BioShock, by the way.
I'm sure there is.
I hope so.
Real BioShock.
We need a prop BioShock.
The original.
Proper.
The
BioShock. Yeah, okay. It's like, this is a fake BioShock.
Right.
Just because it's infinite.
But, and also, the trailer, too, like, what's the girl's name?
Elizabeth.
Cleavage Girl?
That's, yeah, her.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, but yeah, like, the way that trailer was going, where, like, she was visibly weakened after using her powers. Remember how I was saying my guess for, like, the whole moral choice in the game would be how much do you use her and how much do you do stuff on your own?
I guess
I'm beginning to think more and more that might be right.
But then she's also an AI character, so it's, I don't know how much of it is like how much you use or maybe how much you cooperate with her. That would harm
I'm sure
her,
there'll
probably.
Be like it'll probably be like key moments in the game
push
where it's
L
like
to help push R not to, you know.
Yeah, something like that where there's a big obstacle.
Harvest or save little girl. That kind of thing. Their human models definitely look a lot better. That game looks graphically, it was very impressive.
Yeah, it's very colorful and bright.
Well,
and
it's
nice.
Almost a little too impressive. I'm still skeptical. What do you think that was running on?
I don't know. I would imagine if they were to tell you, it'd be a 360.
I'm skeptical. We'll see.
And that's the whole point of this trailer, is that it was all in-game.
Yeah, I know that, but that I have not seen a 360 game that looks that good. Have you?
Yeah, you might make an argument for something like Gears, or I mean, even Mass Effect to a degree.
I only played Mass Effect on the PC. I have no idea how that looked on the Xbox.
Right.
But, yes, it was a very good-looking trailer. It definitely had me more excited for the game than I was. Because, like, at first I was like, okay, more BioShock, I guess. But at least it seems like they actually are taking the presentation a whole other level. So, I'm pretty pleased.
Indeed. I don't know about your worries, Mike, because isn't it a 2012 game? We have plenty of time.
Well, I mean, I was just worried about...
Just the direction of it in general.
Yeah,
I wasn't
worried. They didn't have enough development time. I just didn't know what they were going to be doing with it.
Well, I guess that's understandable. Yeah, when you're making a game, you can't really change direction, like mid development cycle or something like that.
Next.
Okay. So there was some questionable marketing done by good old games. The short story, they've launched the new version of the service. It's no longer a beta. the weird story is a few days ago, when you tried to go to the site, you just got like a splash page that was like this very sad thing about how they couldn't keep the service going the way it was, and they apologized to their fans for the suddenness of this, and they promised they would eventually put up a way for you to download games that you've already bought so you could back them up. Then, like, their Twitter account was saying, like, how it's hard to remain free with DRM and some publishers and blah, blah, blah. And everyone thought GOG was dead. Then, like, rumors started swirling that it was just going to relaunch, and sure enough, that's what happened.
I just don't understand the point of the lies.
I mean, it got everybody going there. Everybody went on that site to read that page.
I mean, I guess so. So shame on us, but...
Yeah.
What's even new about the site now besides Baldur's Gate?
Not a whole ton, yeah. It relaunched with the Baldur's Gate plus its expansion, which is kind of cool. It's basically... A lot of it seems like kind of code optimization for the site itself. There's a few layout changes. It's nothing huge.
I guess I'm glad they're not dead, but... I don't know. It was just unexpectedly seedy from them, wasn't it?
It was tugging at my heartstrings, you know?
It's a little disappointing, I guess. They were supposed to be kind of like the cool kids.
Yeah.
And they kind of pulled some bullshit on us.
Yeah. So, oh, well.
Shame on them. They have some weird YouTube videos, don't they?
Well, they had that. They just had another video, too, where they were like, oh,
yeah, I didn't even see those.
It was like Adobe After Effects video with text flying across the screen and stuff.
Oh, good.
Well, they are flash Baldur's Gate at the end. Everyone's like, oh, okay.
Yes. Next. Moving on. So Intel is doing something weird as kind of like a test product. With their new CPUs, if you want the full power of it, you have to buy another little card with a code for $50 to unlock a full megabyte of L3 cache and enable hyper-threading.
I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
Isn't it basically
they're selling you like an intentionally underclocked CPU, and the only way to unlock its full potential is to buy this $50 card.
What if we just got the master of unlocking to unlock it? Video game reference. Lol.
I see what you did.
All right, what? Go ahead.
I don't know. This just seems weird. It's not like the CPUs are $50 cheaper or anything, so like budget users can buy these things. I don't know. I just think it's stupid. So yeah, there's that. In happier news, Steve Wiebe is once again the top holder of the Donkey Kong high score.
Does anybody really still care that much about this stuff?
I don't know. It's just one of those few interesting, like, gaming sport things, I guess.
I guess so. Like, no one would have cared that movie didn't happen.
Oh, no, I agree wholeheartedly.
But, oh, well.
The PlayStation 3 received its firmware update to allow 3D Blu-ray movie playback. Hooray! Of course, the problem is, because like, it's not the technical end of this. I don't believe it's a fully compliant HDMI 1.4 device.
Yeah.
So one of the things that has to happen is if you are using 3D movies, you cannot get the uncompressed audio. You have to use one of the compressed audio codecs, which for the really hardcore guys is going to bum them out. But if you're also that hardcore, you probably have a dedicated 3D Blu-ray player anyway. So yay for that. They've announced Planet Michael, the Michael Jackson MMO.
I like to think this is a game about me.
Oh, God.
What would a Planet Michael Minotti game be like?
I don't know. I guess you sleep a lot.
Warcraft Heroes running around.
Yeah.
Yeah, where was Warcraft Hero Monday?
Oh, my gosh.
Jerk.
You kidding me? This is hardly the forum for that.
Fine.
I didn't have a comic this week. Shoot me.
I was upset.
No, whatever.
Lara Croft in The Guardian of Light's coming to PC and PS3 now, I think. Unfortunately, they don't have online multiplayer either. The 360 version was supposed to get patched at this time. Obviously, that also didn't happen. All three are pending still. I don't know why it's so hard for them to put online multiplayer in this game.
Apparently, they had it working at some expo, right? Or like a PAX or something like that?
Well, yeah, I can't imagine it's hard to get it to work. Sure, they're just choosing not to.
But why? Like, don't you risk, like, by the time you release this patch, the hype for your game is completely gone and everyone's moved on? I mean, this game had really good buzz when it first came out, but if this patch comes out next month, who's gonna care?
I have no idea what their thinking is.
Yeah.
Is it this growing conspiracy? Like, a lot of these games recently are coming out, there's a lot of, like, there's no online co-op at all. Are they trying to, like, make some sort of thing between all the digital download games so then... Like, eventually they'll phase out the desire for online co-op or something. It's weird.
I I wouldn't buy into any larger conspiracy theories. Yeah. I'm sure it's just a more dumb, I think they can make money by selling it to us later thing.
Well, it's not even for sale. It's free. They just need to do it.
Like, maybe they just think they can get high headlines again if they hold back a feature.
That could be. Okay, the mobile Armory app for iPhone got an update. Now you could see the 3D model of your character, so that's fun. You could run them through all the various animations and take screenshots. More notable is an upcoming update to the pay service for the app that normally lets you like have full access to the auction house and everything. Will also allow you to access guild chat on the go.
Okay.
Okay, never mind.
Were you expecting more excitement?
I don't know. I thought you said something. Also,
I said
like,
something, I guess.
The release also mentioned an Android version, even though an Android version doesn't exist, so I guess that's coming soon, which is nice.
Dope. So,
Super Street Fighter 4, probably not coming out to the PC. Apparently, and this may shock you to hear, the PC version of the original Street Fighter 4 was very pirated.
Oh, I don't believe it.
I know. So much so that they don't even find it worthwhile to do the port. Sucks for anybody who is like, oh, I'm going to buy like a USB fighting stick for my PC, and play it on here, and make like an arcade cabinet out of it. Yeah! Hope you didn't do that.
Are they really? Yeah, all two of those people. I feel really bad for them.
I'm sure people have done it.
Well, yeah,
okay, let's get into some Microsoft Halo news here. Apparently they want to ramp up Halo releases. Microsoft Game Studios Corporate Vice President Phil Spencer saying, there's no explicit strategy that says we're to ship a Halo game every year. I will say I think one Halo game every 3 years, which is kind of our old cadence, is probably not frequent enough. Well, yeah, because you had one studio making it and like taking their time. They kind of cite like Activision's yearly model as like their model for this. But like it's a multiple studio thing and... For a long time, the every other years weren't considered that good.
I'm assuming that... I mean, well, Bungie won't be making Halo anymore, right?
No, they are done and done.
Well, so they'll just get two new studios that alternate.
Right, well, they have the internal studio, 343 Industries. And then, I don't know.
Insomniac.
Probably not. Even if you want to go bi-yearly, that might be fine, but...
I'm a little confused, though. Didn't a new Halo game come out last year also?
Yeah, I know. I don't understand his concern here.
Are they admitting that they ripped us off with that one and it wasn't a full game?
And the year before that, we had Halo Wars.
I feel like we have been having a pretty steady release
of Halo, yeah.
Yeah, but you know what? Whatever they say. I'm not sure Halo's going to be able to hold up to the yearly releasing as well as Call of Duty, by the way.
No, absolutely not.
So, you know, they can kill their franchise if they want to. They'll have fun with that.
Yeah. Good news for our Canadian friends. Netflix lives on the PS3 up there. And I must have wrote this down subconsciously, because what I typed in my notes here was, with no disc to boot. Get it?
Internet high five. Internet golf club.
But yeah, it does not need a disc like it does in America. That's coming here next month. So, you know, yeah.
Early next month. We'll see.
If you'd like, you could sign up to join the Xbox Live Preview Program. This is the beta of the new enhancements coming to the system that include ESPN3 access, the enhanced Netflix interface, and the improved audio codecs for voice chat. Unfortunately, though, if you get into this beta and your friends don't, you can't do like party chat or one-on-one chat, but game chat should still work, which personally for me has kept me from signing up for it because I use party chat a lot if I'm online.
Interesting.
All right, you're not very chatty today.
I'm sorry, I have a minor cold.
Okay.
What's that? Wait. Even if I was hoping that, I don't think it went. What was that story even about? It seemed very boring to me.
It was about the Xbox Live Preview Program sign up.
That sounds pretty boring.
Whatever. You're boring.
Nope.
Project Milo is rumored to be canceled.
Yeah, you know why?
Why?
Because Project Milo never existed.
No, he demoed it in the summer in Edinburgh.
Oh, he demoed it to people.
Anyway, supposedly, the tech is being translated into a new Fable game.
Yeah, supposedly. I'm sure.
Also, did you see the video of Peter Molyneux's son asking Valve to make Half-Life 3?
Yes, that was very adorable.
Indeed.
I see some people are mad about it.
What are they mad about?
I don't know. They think that Molyneux's using his kid to promote his game. It seemed to be much more about promoting Valve, but...
Yeah.
Whatever. People want to get mad at Peter Molyneux for anything he does.
That is true.
He can't do any right. I feel bad for the guy sometimes. This is from somebody who likes to criticize Fable a lot.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, where did this come from?
I got nothing against him, personally, or his child.
Let's see. Blockbuster has filed for bankruptcy.
Really?
Yeah.
I wasn't shocked.
Couldn't ask me either. Netflix, Gamefly, sorry, we don't need you anymore. Microsoft's Bing search service is now doing something called search rewards if you install the toolbar on Internet Explorer within Windows. Somehow, in various ways, you can get Bing points, which you can use to get Microsoft points, actually. Just for signing up for it, you get $2.50 worth of Microsoft points.
Well, it's not terrible.
No.
It's like a DLC pack, right?
Yeah. Get some
avatar
profile
gear.
Picks.
Yes. The final thing I have, Super Meat Boy has found a way to circumvent paid DLC on Xbox Live Arcade using a feature within the game called Internets. He found some kind of loophole in the way content can be delivered to a game. And what's actually strange about it is Microsoft is, like, encouraging him to use it and promote it.
What's he doing, though? I don't get it.
He didn't go into the technical. I mean, there must be some way to push content to the game that doesn't have to go through, like, the marketplace and the downloads and everything.
Oh. Okay.
So, like, you'll be able to get, like, new levels and stuff like that in the game for free.
Alrighty, then.
Indeed.
Are you done?
I am done.
Oh, obviously you guys don't care about Living Planet 2, even though it's been deleted January 2011.
That's true. You didn't talk about Little Big Planet 2, AJ.
Okay. Wait, what happened with Little Big Planet 2?
It was delayed. You don't know?
Oh, I missed that.
How'd you miss that?
I don't know.
Are you kidding me? It's on every... How do you do the news?
When did this happen?
Today. It happened like today! Earlier.
Okay, well, then I missed it because I was at work today and I didn't see that.
Oh, you didn't? So when we were doing the news today, you didn't think important to see what happened today?
Well, I read all of today's headlines.
Apparently not.
I didn't see... Don't sass me, boy.
Well, you're doing something wrong.
Where is this?
Oh, where is this? It's like on the second page of every blog now.
Look, I don't go to the blogs. I have a massive RSS feeder.
And apparently
it
doesn't work. Huh? Huh? Apparently, that RSS...
I don't believe
Who uses RSS anymore, by the way?
Everyone.
No one! Oh, everyone. What?
Google Reader, ring a bell?
Oh my gosh. I don't know anyone uses Google Reader but you.
Uh-huh. Well, how's come?
I
have Lynette pushes articles through it, and so does Rock, and a lot of people.
I have no.
What the hell is
Turn
that? Your phone off.
Well, who's that?
That's my ringtone, I'm sorry.
That's Bush League, man.
Oh, hey, here it is.
Yeah.
Oh, delayed to January, yeah.
This
show's
turning
the hell in a handbasket.
move on.
I'm sorry, guys.
All right, we're gonna talk about Little Big Planet 2 and Let's Go Topical because I don't suck, unlike you.
Great.
I like how dismissive you are. This, like, I like how to cover up. You try to play it off as if this wasn't a big story.
I didn't believe you that it happened. That's all.
You didn't believe it. All right, nope. AJ. Here's your quiz. I hope you fail.
No thanks.
The original Civilization was released in what year?
91.
Correct.
Oh my god!
Alright. Question 2. Sid Meier made 2 games based off of the Civil War in the late 90s. Name one of them.
Sid Meier's Gettysburg.
Correct.
And the other one's Antietam.
Oh, yeah. How'd you know that?
I just know.
Alright. Number 3. Sid Meier released a game in 1997... based off of what popular card game?
Card game? 97. Sid Meier.
Yes, those are all the nouns that were in the question. What's that?
Released.
Yeah, he made one, whatever.
A popular card game?
Shut up, I know what you're doing.
No, I'm trying to think here.
I don't believe you. You literally just said every word in that sentence.
I don't know. Sid Meier's Free Cell?
Magic the Gathering.
He did that?
Yeah.
Oh my god.
I didn't know that.
Pretty awesome.
I should have just said that. Why didn't I just say that?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought you would have guessed that one. Maybe not. Question 4. How many installments are there in Sid Meier's Railroad Tycoon series?
Just, no. 2?
There are 4.
Really?
Sid Meier's, there's Railroad Tycoon 1, 2, 3, and then just Sid Meier's Railroads. 5. What is the name of Sid Meier's attempt to make a civilization in space?
Oh, Sid Meier's Alpha Centauri.
Correct. You knew more about Sid Meier than I thought.
I know.
Sadly, you can't pass this quiz because you missed the Magic the Gathering one. But here's your bonus question. The original version of Sid Meier's Pirates was released in what year?
Ooh, boy. It was like an Amiga game. I don't know, 84?
87.
Damn, okay, I was way off.
That was enough. All right, let's go topical.
Okay.
Edge guy, you're first. Releasing a Halo game every year will hurt the franchise.
I think so. Like, even like ODST that came out last year, I thought it was a pretty good game. But a lot of people were unhappy with it, because of the way it was presented as like a sort of expansion, then it was a full-price game.
They seem to have admitted themselves that it wasn't a full game.
Right.
With the statement today.
I think what Halo Reach in particular has proved is people only want games with Spartans. Like, that is Halo to them, not UNSC.
I don't think that was
Covenant.
The issue, AJ.
I think that was part of it.
I don't know. That's a stretch.
But I understand there's like a lot of cool fiction and people were like the Halo books and everything. But I don't know. Like, I almost think unless they get back to Master Chief, they can't keep doing spinoffs. You know what I mean? Like, I think people were okay with ODST and Reach because it was like, yeah, we're just doing some shit until, you know, Halo 4 is going to come out and we'll be back to Master Chief. Like, I think that's the perception. If that never happens, I think people are going to get kind of upset. And plus, I mean, we've seen, yeah, they say Activision's their model for yearly franchises at work. I mean, aside from Call of Duty, what yearly franchise of Activision's has really been succeeding lately? Guitar Hero's kind of the slums. Tony Hawk is pretty much dead. Spider-Man games haven't been good, like, ever. Like, I don't understand what their model for success here is unless you think you're going to make, like, the next Call of Duty, which, frankly, I mean, Halo's incredibly popular, but I think part of that popularity is there is one every 3 years. It builds a really large player base, whereas the Call of Duty games kind of cannibalize each other. So, all in all, bad idea.
Joey.
The original thing was, what was it again, like, making Halo every year a bad idea?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And that's basically all I can say, really, because, people play first-person shooters and multiplayer a lot, they'll just gravitate to Call of Duty, unless there's, like, people who really dedicated to Forge, I guess, or, like, the stuff that Halo offers, compared to the Call of Duty Modern Warfare guys. And there is a love for the story, but then it takes a while to develop a story-based game, I think. At least I get the impression. So a yearly one wouldn't do well, I don't think.
All right. Joey, Little Big Planet's 2 delay will significantly hurt Sony's holiday sales.
I would have said, probably. I was going to say, like, iPad would probably fill the niche for, like, a family game, even though it's, like, something you play with the Move and the camera and stuff.
iPad has a pretty high barrier of entry, though.
Why do you think? Because it used to be,
well,
like...
Because you need an iToy and you need the Move to be able to play it.
But now they're making now that, like, starting tomorrow, Toys R Us is going to have the PlayStation Move bundle with the iToy in it, with the iPad in it.
Still, I don't
know. Which is one retailer, but it's still a... And it is that barrier to entry, like you said. This is talking about iPad, though. That's the Big Planet. Like, people did, people were, like, liking it because it whole, like, make whole games, even though if they're sort of, like, on the barrier, like, on the edge of, not on the minigame, like, designation. But still, mm-hmm. the level of, customization creativity in that was pretty, like, people were getting excited by that. And also, you know, Sackboy. People like the Sackboy. And all the pre-order bonuses, and suddenly you got Muppets and Tron, and like a lot of big build-up. Even though the game was announced like early this year, right?
Yeah,
yeah,
pretty much. I think so. I mean, it was kind of a foregone conclusion that it would happen.
Yeah, it's like I guess in terms of like the perception, like probably like I don't know the reviewers or something like that. Like on the side of the hardcore, maybe it won't be so bad. It'll just be like. You know, it sucks that we can't get it sooner, but, you know, more time will, you know, help make the game better, you know, in some weird sense. But then, you think about, like, the financial side and people, like, buying games for Christmas and stuff, then it does stick in Sony's craw that it's not, you know, or that season.
AJ.
Yeah, I mean, I'm trying to think. I'm very likely forgetting something obvious, so correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, aside from GT5, does Sony really have any big, exclusive holiday releases?
Wait, when's Killzone?
Late February 11th.
Yeah.
Oh, then when's Infamous 2? Freaking Infamous 2, yeah.
That's, I think it's, March or April. Like, yeah, when they came out 08, March, April, same thing, just add 2 years.
Okay. So Gran Turismo.
I mean, that's kind of their big holiday release, and that's about it. Aside from, the Move-specific stuff, but... I think it can hurt them, because that was kind of their one kind of wide appeal game. I mean, GT5 is popular, but it's popular with racing, simulation racing players.
You know what's weird? GT5 is very popular, right? These games are very popular. I know one person who played these games, though.
Yeah, me too.
Which was no one personally, right?
What?
Right.
Yeah,
right,
yeah. Personally. Personally, I know one person. Which is just, when I see the numbers for these games, it kind of always blows me away, because just my perception of the kind of awareness of this franchise is so much lower. But apparently these games do very well.
Right.
But this is the first time we'll see one with kind of in the post-Forza world. Right. A lot of people have moved on from Gran Turismo.
And, Need for Speed to a lesser degree. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it was a chance to have, a mainstream game that might have actually helped sell the people on the Move a little bit, too. I mean, it's had a big marketing push up to this point.
Sell the Move controller?
Yeah, it has Move support.
Not the Media Molecule guys said they weren't going to put it in at the launch because they wanted to get it right or something like that.
Really?
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, either that or with Move support, DLC'd into the LVP1. It was one or the other. Are you hunting for it?
I'm just going to take a quick look while I continue talking.
Okay.
I think it's a missed opportunity. I mean, this is purely financial. I mean, if the game needs time, the game needs time. I've gotten to the point in my life where I'm fine with delays. It's unfortunate for them.
All right, AJ. Project Milo, or Milo, whatever the hell it is.
I think it's Milo.
Was nothing but smoke and mirrors.
As it was demonstrated at E3, probably, but I mean, a lot of E3 demonstrations are smoke and mirrors. I believe that they had something. I mean, honestly, the technology to talk to a computer and have it talk back to you is nothing that remarkably new. It was more the conversions of that along with how he would actually look at where you were in the room, and he could supposedly read your facial expressions. I mean, that was the big deal about it. I mean, when you think of that, if you really break it down to the sum of its parts, none of it in that is particularly far-fetched. It's just we've never seen anything where all those are working together. So I don't think it was, absolute garbage. I also don't think you were going to walk in and, talk to this kid completely fluently like it was a real person. It would obviously, just like Seaman on the Dreamcast, you'd, ask it something and it would respond with, something completely random that had nothing to do with what you're talking about. And I'm sure that was part of what they were working on. Plus, it wasn't enough to support a game. I mean, unless iPet flies off the shelf and proves that people do like having a thing you just talk to. But
What do you think it was canceled for? Not because they weren't really able to sort of fulfill their promises?
No, I honestly think there just wasn't enough there. I mean, what would you do with that for more than a day? If you make it into as part of a Fable game, I think you have a better chance to actually show that technology as part of a video game.
I still don't understand how you implement that into a real game.
Well, I mean, imagine where you took any situation in an RPG, particularly a Western RPG, where you're talking to a character and you have dialogue tree choices. Imagine now if you could just say what you want and the game tries to fit together all of the dialogue paths that way.
That's incredibly far-fetched.
Not really.
Yes, it is. You're going to have every single AI in the game.
It isn't if you take it so far as if you say something completely random, then the game just says, I don't know what you're talking guessing. About.
You're trying to say keywords from the game.
Yeah, that's kind of what a lot things. Of voice recognition stuff like that
so basically
is.
Basically, you're wasting
keywords.
Time instead of just having a dialogue tree.
I don't know.
It
would work for people who are taking the game seriously and who are asking the obvious stuff because that's what you do. It's not going to work for the guy who's going to be like, "Oh, I'm going to play Fable 4," and goes up to every woman in the game and says, "Take off your shirt," because you know that people are going to do it.
That's not really my big concern, but if you wanted to bring that up, that's fine. Pervert. All right, Joey.
I have nothing to say, really. What was it about again? Milo?
Yeah.
The whole cancel thing, like, if it was real or not?
Yeah, if it ever really...
Because if you're going to talk to me about, like, Peter Molyneux and stuff, I'm just going to throw giant bomb jokes at you about Peter Molyneux's balls, or, like, Love Plus Connect, like, Love Plus, like Peter Molyneux working with Konami, making, like, an interactive, like, dating sim thing where you're talking to your Xbox with a virtual girlfriend or something. Sorry.
Well, I've never heard, listened to Giant Bomb, so we'll just move on then.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Joey.
Quick aside, Little Big Planet 2 was, in fact, meant to have moved from day one.
Yeah.
Are you gonna tell Joey to suck it down with Katana then?
No.
So it was meant to, but they didn't put it in.
Well,
no. I mean, they're still going to. Just,
oh, cool.
The game's not coming out.
All right.
Okay.
Tell me Joey, something now. Whatever.
You will buy Pokemon Black and White.
No, it's kind of funny because when I was recording the second Pokemon podcast with my friends on my own podcast. Now, fun to talk about that. It was like I was sort of on the fence because you were talking about like Black and White and what we're expecting of it, and they were talking a lot about it, and it didn't seem a whole lot different. But then like there was like a Iwata ask or something like that where they meant something about how they were what their main aims was to go completely like just go like make a completely different experience, maybe not completely different, but just like emphasis on like new, like you don't run into the old Pokemon from the first 493 or something like that. 493, yeah. Jeez, 490 Pokemon. Like, none of those original guys, like, no Pikachu, no Bidoof, or none of those guys. You just run into a brand new Pokemon throughout your journey in Ishu, I think the name of the new region is. Well, at least as far as the Japanese is concerned. Even though they didn't call it Sinnoh, we got a Sinnoh as well. Anyway. So, I think I will end up getting it, probably like a 70% chance.
AJ.
I see no reason to stop now.
Just play in your life.
I've bought them all so far.
Gotta buy them all.
And this is the first one that actually looks like it's doing some different things. So, like, I'd be like kind of a hypocrite to not buy it since I've been saying I want them to do something different. So,
see, even if nothing was different, I'd probably still buy it.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
I still rather enjoyed Pearl and Diamond and Heart Gold and Soul Silver.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny like that. Like, Soul Silver didn't feel different to me, like, after playing Platinum. Even though, well, I guess they weren't direct sequels. They weren't very direct sequels, but then, like, the differences didn't seem that big to me, because it was, like, on top of this game that was, like, a remake of an old game. Like,
well, basically, they just took the Diamond and Pearl kind of upgrades visually.
Engine or whatever, yeah.
Right, and just
but if it was, like, with a new adventure, like, instead of bringing you back to Johto for the sake of some nostalgia factor, then probably would have resonated a bit more.
Well, no, that was the whole point, is that it was just remaking the old one.
Right.
They weren't, like, shy about that or anything.
It's just like with Leaf Green and Fire Red. All right, AJ.
Mm-hmm.
The original Baldur's Gate is a game you would play today.
I want to get it eventually, just because... I mean, I played this game back in the day, but it was way over my head at the time, because I didn't... My RPG experience to that point had been JRPGs. I just couldn't wrap my head around this game. I do want to try it now that I've played a lot more Western RPGs and I kind of understand the systems better. I know it's going to be clunky and crude as a lot of these old PC games are. Mm. And I'm not going to be doing it time soon because quite frankly there's a lot to play. But if we hit a lull here and I want to check it out, I mean for $10, yeah, I'd like to get it and try it out.
Did you see some of the screenshots and stuff that are on Good Old Games?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I could play this game today.
Right, it'd be hard.
Not to be a graphic snob or anything, but just presentation. Kind of like that weird texture around all the buttons and things.
Right.
It definitely looks like a 1997 this game was made.
Something like that.
Yeah. Joey.
1999, release date, 1999, May 6th.
Really?
It says I have the site open right now to Baldur's Gate Original Saga.
I'm with that.
On GOG.
Huh.
To all sides,
kind of surprises me for some reason. But go ahead.
I don't have any attachment to the series. I do know that a lot of people really, obviously, people were big fans of this and stuff. I remember playing Dark Alliance demo, and that seemed alright. Is it like that?
I don't think it's anything like that.
Didn't think so.
It's, you know, it's a Western RPG.
Yeah.
Well, all right then. On that note, we will move on to our week in gaming.
Okay.
AJ, why don't you talk about Civ 5?
Okay. Civ 5 is awesome.
You don't have to sing it.
But oh, really? I must. It's so good. Oh, God. Where'd even start?
Is it more? Did you play Civ 4 very much?
Yeah, enough to, you know my way around it.
Is this? You think this game is more like Civ 4 or more like Civ Rev?
It's, I mean, it's really, it's in between, but closer to Civ 4. I mean, as far as depth goes and everything. What it shares in common with Civ Rev is just a lot of the interface streamlining. I think, like, you don't even need to go into the detailed city screens most of the time. It's enough to just click on the production icon on a city, get the little production queue pop up, and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. So in that regard, it makes it feel like there's not as much depth, but it's just, it's there. You just need to go find it. And it's not like it's hard to find. Finding it makes it sound like it's hidden or something. I mean, the game just does a very good job of keeping the interface clean and bringing the information that's really important out to you without overwhelming you with a million numbers and icons on the screen at all times. So I think that's where a lot of the Civ Rev comparisons come from. Everything's there, it's just not always there unless you need it or you go get it. The other big difference between this and Civ Rev, obviously, is this is a little less whimsical. It has a little bit more, gravitas around it. The narrator guy, and I forget his name, he's done some voice acting stuff. It's no one big like Leonard Nimoy, or like the rumor was Patrick Stewart for a while would be doing this one. But he does a phenomenal job. Everything he says sounds great.
Wait, who is it again? I'm sorry?
I can't remember who it is. I'll look it up as I talk here.
Let's see if he finds it first.
Yeah. But what else to talk about? The music is actually really good. I don't know what it is.
A surprise. I don't understand.
It's good, not the way it has this Pixar quality to it. That's the only way I could think to describe the music.
What does that mean?
I don't know.
It sounds like Randy Newman?
No. Not the singing. There's no singing. But I mean, it just has this melodic build to it that, for whatever reason, in my head, is reminding me of a Pixar game. not Pixar game, Pixar movie.
Talk about Randy Newman. For some reason, I had this image of like a secret ending where everyone's like all the civilizations join hand in hand and they start singing "You Got a Friend in Me." I don't know. That'd be messed up. Anyway,
yeah. It's very pretty. I can't run it on high settings though. I have to keep it on medium. But yeah, I mean everything looks great. And honestly, the hexes, which is obviously the biggest departure for this game, is so perfect. Like, the way tiles fit together looks more natural. It doesn't look like things are being forced into a spot they really don't belong. I really like the way how ranged attacks work in this game, where a ranged unit actually fires across range, as it were, instead of just, like, being a unit that can't defend itself or get counterattacked. The whole thing of not being able to stack units on a tile, like, makes fighting in this game a lot realistic. More realistic, I guess, is the way I'd put it, where, like, you know, for someone to attack a city is actually a really hard thing to do, one, and two, like, I mean, it just makes sense. You see this army coming, you can get a sense of the size of the army based on how much space they take up. You put yours out in front, you have your melee units in front, your archers in the back and everything. I mean, it just works really, really well. I mean, honestly, if you like Civilization at all, you're going to love this game. I don't see why you wouldn't. There's a few weird quirks with it that bother me, and this is a problem I remember in Civ 4 too, but like if you try to like right-click and drag to do a move order to give someone like a move that's going to take several turns, sometimes they'll just stop and won't do it, and the game like won't alert you to a unit that needs orders. Like, they just stand in place with doing nothing, and you have to like be like, wait, where's that worker I told to move over here like 5 turns ago, and he's just like hanging out like right next to where he was, not doing anything. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if that's a bug or what, or if I'm maybe doing something wrong. So hopefully they fix that. Really, I mean, it's hard to not find things to like about this. It's really damn good. Yes.
Did you see the one bad review for the game?
It was on 1UP. They got like a C- on there.
I think it's a C.
His basic complaint was the AI's not smart enough. But I don't know, maybe he's a really good Civ player. He didn't say what difficulty he was on, too. I mean, I don't know, maybe he's on the highest. He seemed to complain that the AI didn't really know how to navigate the hexes and the whole lack of unit stacking. I mean, I haven't really found that to be the case. I had I did like the tutorial, and I'm playing like my first real game right now. I haven't finished it yet. But like, I got into a really big war with the Germans a little bit ago that I won. He conceded to me and gave me a whole ton of stuff, which is pretty cool. I thought it all went really well. I liked the way the flow of the combat and everything. Oh, the other big thing I should mention too, the city states in this game, which are like mini civilizations that they're not playing to win. They're just, you know, hanging out. Like, you could set up peace treaties with them for trade agreements. You could go to war on them, try to take them over to expand your empire. You could claim one as an ally and say you're going to protect them, so if anyone tries to attack them, they have you to answer to. It just adds this really other great layer of depth to it. And the same thing with like the way barbarians in this game work. Like, they'll constantly be popping up throughout the map. If you kill them, it's just like quick gold and experience for your troops. Sometimes city states will want you to get rid of the ones close to them, and you'll get bonuses for that. It's just, I mean, it's a really good game.
Yeah, I guess I don't really have anything much to add to what you said.
Okay.
I'm still on my first game, though. I haven't actually won a round yet, or played through a whole round yet.
But it's, also, I found it that the actor is Morgan Shepherd.
Shepherd.
Yes.
Rex Shepherd.
But
he's. I know he's done a bunch of Star Trek guest roles. There's a picture of him as a Klingon on Civ5.net.
Interesting. I probably have seen his work then.
Yes.
All right. Anything else you played?
I beat Reach.
Oh, did you have fun?
I did. The end of the game, and I don't mean the end after the credits that everybody is buzzing about, which is freaking cool as hell, but I won't say what it is.
Oh.
But, like, the last level, it's one of those deals where, you know how in a lot of video games, especially if it's not like the kind of game that's going to have, like, a final boss fight, you just get the sense, like, oh, like, this is the build-up, this is the last big fight I have to do, I'm going to finish this, and the game's going to end, and I'm cool with that. And I'd do that fight, and a cutscene would start, and something would happen. And nope, I gotta keep going. Now I get to a bigger fight, and I'm like, okay, this is the last one. And it did that three more times. five times in all, I thought I beat the game, and it kept going. Which I guess would be fine if it wasn't for the fact that, like, I thought I was at the end. I kind of wanted to go to bed, but I was like, well, I'm really close to the end, I may as well try to finish it. And an hour and a half later, I was done. So I guess I'm complaining the game was too long, I guess. But here's the thing. I mean, these last fights were really hard. Because, I mean, it was literally a dropship came and just dumped 20 brutes.
Hmm.
And I'm like, oh, I have no ammo, I have 3 clicks of health, and there's no health packs anywhere. Fuck. And yeah, I figured it out after dying a lot. And so, like, you know, there was, like, the satisfaction of finally figuring out the way to beat it. But, it just kind of came down to trial and error. Like, I'm going to run up here, grenade this guy, and shoot that one. Now, that didn't work. Well, I'm going to try to melee him and grenade that one. That didn't work. Okay, this worked. Good, I hit a checkpoint. Now, let's see what I got to do here. Like, I didn't like the way it kind of devolved into that. Although, you did get the nice kind of powerful payoff moment at the very end of the game. So, that was cool.
Has Halo ever really had boss fights?
In Halo 2. And everyone pretty much hated it, so that's why they haven't done it since.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you fought a brute chieftain or something at the end. It was pretty weak.
Tartarus.
Yeah, that guy. All in all, though, I thought the game was phenomenal. I absolutely loved it. I really liked the story. I thought all the cutscenes were really good. I mean, they did a really good job with this game. It's great. So, you know, kudos to them. And I still haven't even touched firefight mode yet, so I still have so much more to discover. But, I mean, Halo Reach is phenomenal. If you're even remotely close to a first-person shooter fan at all, you should like this game, I think.
All right.
It's good.
Anything else, AJ?
No. All right. That does it for me.
Joey, what'd you play, if anything?
Well, I'll start with the really small thing then. Like, today in Times Square, they had some event where Hania unveiled this new car, and they were like, oh, and it's in Gran Turismo 5 as well. But that was, like, a side thing. It was all about the car, and then, like, they had some, like, hip-hop star, I think, like, for me. But anyway, they had a couple of Chiasa GT5 laying around. I was like, oh, I think I'll try it out. And I really suck at GT5. At least playing it with, like, a wheel and the pedal and stuff. So I didn't even, like, I ran out of time to play the demo. So I was like, oh, well. That was also interesting because it was on the 3D TV. And that was kind of weird with GT5. It's not a game that really throws stuff at you, like MotorStorm, like, with the button and everything, I guess. And, like, exploding cars. Exploding
Did you vehicles. Have the dash view with the 3D?
I tried all the views and stuff, and it also felt weird sitting in that position, having the TV like that in front of me, where the windshield would be, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I never drove a car in my life, so I never didn't feel natural at all.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well.
Wait, have you never driven a car before?
I don't have a license or anything.
Oh, okay. How old are you again?
21.
Oh.
I just turned 21 this year anyway.
How old were you when you got your license?
Me, I was 19.
Okay.
You have your priority straight, don't you?
Yep. Now, what are you making fun of me for? You're 21.
I know, I'm just saying.
All right, what else?
Let's see. What do you call it? Recently, Amazon had a random, like, you know their gold box deals? They randomly, one of their deals was, like, in the list. It was a random, like, video game. And then I saw all of a sudden people were like, holy shit, it's Demon's Souls, $20. And I was like, you know what? I think I'll rebuy this game because I bought it earlier, but then I sold off because I was like, I keep getting killed in this game. I'm not sure if I'm really gonna have fun. And it was kind of ironic because it's like I had pegged it as a summer game, and it was like the beginning of summer. I tried it again, and I was like, I don't know. But then I was like, you know what? $20, sure. I'll drop the 20 and I'll get it. And it was interesting because it was like, you know how Amazon Prime 2-day shipping. I got it the next day. I was like, oh, this is a good sign.
Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah. And then I played it like early this week, and then I actually decided, you know what? I'm just gonna stop like. Just randomly fighting it and dying. I'm just going to power through and beat this freaking boss, and it was pretty. I actually beat the first area, and I was like, "Yes, this game doesn't seem so hard after all." Then I died the second area. Yeah. I still like, but you know, now I caught the bug. I'm going to keep playing Demon's Souls now. I really like it.
There you go.
And let's see. Also, last week, Space Invaders Infinity Gene hit PSN.
Yeah, how is the console version? Is it like some weird 3D stuff?
Maybe not like 3D TV stuff. Getting confused.
No, I mean, but
yeah,
like
but like, 3D. Isn't it? I'm fairly certain it's similar to the one on the App Store, like for the Apple devices. But it's,
well, I mean, it's strictly like, I mean, it looks just like, but then like they Pac-Man made CE it, would, made but it like this one actually HD. Tilts the view and stuff, right?
Hmm?
This one, like the angle is actually tilted and everything, right?
Something like that, yeah. And it's it's in full HD. There's like a weird like a. Like a equalizer, visualizer effect in the background for some stages that looks kind of like welfare cheese because it was clearly made for like an iPhone screen and then they just like blew it up. It didn't look all that great, but like the pixely line art stuff, like the intentionally retro style, it works. And it's so funny because when I got it, the first thing I did because I tried the demo, I was like, I think I'll try out the demo, and then I can't test out the music mode. Then I found out, holy shit, does it? You know, obviously. It's an Apple device thing. Of course, you're gonna be able to play your music with this game, but I'll try out the demo mode. And it's a bit like a flow out of storyline about the origin of the evolution of species or something. In fact, there's like a quote from Darwin, I think, in the game itself about like people who had like evolution or something like that. And then the game just it starts off with you being like the classic Space Invaders thing, and then gradually you see like a screen come up that says evolution. Then you see like you can start moving around the screen, you can start rapid fire, you can get new shots and like all sorts of interesting stuff, all sort of modifiers you can put in the settings or like stuff before you start like a Zerg rush through the game. But that was all before I tried actually put down the money and got the music mode, where I started putting in automatic Gucci music and just like the custom stages like. Really matched really well to the music. I was really surprised.
Yeah, that was my favorite thing about it on the iPhone, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I love any game that lets you, like, procedurally use your music to create levels. I think that's cool.
Yeah. And, this one track in particular from Automata Gucci called Aurora, it's one of their singles they released during the summer, the free singles, and you should definitely play that one, because it's really stunning how the stage just melds really well. The shit that goes down. And yeah, definitely play it on an interface where you don't have to touch the screen to obscure what you're seeing, because...
Right.
Get it on a whatever platform, PS3, 360, whatever you got. I got PS3, so I got PS3, of course. Excuse you.
All right, anything else?
The big one, I guess, the one I saved best for last is Metal Gear Solid Peace Walker. Have you guys ever talked about Peace Walker at all? Or did you
yeah,
guys
I got it, and I played through all of it, except for, like, the last chapter thing at that end. Like, the one
yeah,
after the game ends.
Zadornov kept, like, you're like running away, and you just decided
right,
to leave him, let him be.
Yeah, yeah. like oh, he keeps running away. Let's put him back in his cell. Oh, he got out again. For happens literally 5 times.
It's funny because actually, it's like the 6th and 7th time is the last one, and then you get to the final boss.
Oh, is that all those missions are? I'm probably really close then. So
yeah, I was right. Like, cause what you call it? I was there when Kojima did like the. Two New York signings at once at the Uniqlo when they had the new shirts and the Best Buy in the evening. and I was crazy, and I got a copy of Peace Walker, and I got him to sign the front and the back of the cover.
Mm-hmm. That's cool.
And then, I was still, like, sort of bitter about, because I was a stupid Metal Gear fanboy, I was still, like, bitter about MGS4 being, like, not the ending that I wanted for the series. I was like, if you're gonna end it, don't do it like that and screw up the rest of the series. But anyway, it's like, then I started, like, you know, I think I'll, like, one of the days in summer, it was, like, July or August, I was bored. I was like, I think I'll give Peace Walker a shot, whatever. Then I played to the, when you hear Snake, like, they've got nukes, they're bringing nukes into Latin America, something like that. I was like, oh shit, this is Metal Gear, this is what it's all about, again, nukes, thank God.
And I was like, you know what? About 4, though?
Huh?
What about the ending did you think ruined the series?
It's not just about the ending, just the whole game in general. It was like the whole, like, if you're gonna end a series, don't end it like that, like, just, that'd be a whole giant other tangent about, like, apparently. MGS4, my problems with it, which I'm gonna save for October when I record a bunch of episodes. Anyway. But, yeah, it's like, brushing MGS4 aside and just, like, you know, I was like, you know what, I'm just gonna play Peace Walker, and I was reminded that Hideo Kojima, like, he can make a fun game in story and in game. And all the complaints about Peace Walker, like, it should have been on PS3, it should be called MGS5, like, I don't know about the MGS5 thing, but I loved it as a PS3, a PSP, and it's, you know, it's a kind of a shame that it didn't, you know, sell massively successful like MGS4 did.
Well, which is being on the PSP, probably hurt it.
Exactly, you know, the piracy and all that stuff. It apparently has hit Japan as well. If you listen to 8, apparently, like, PSP piracy has started running rampant recently, Peace Walker or something like that. But only this year, apparently.
Weird.
Yeah, so I'm basically like a Peace Walker. Yeah, I beat the main story, and now I'm just accumulating AI chips and S-ranking missions. Love it.
I liked it. I didn't love it. The mission structure thing, I kind of just wish it was just a more linear style Metal Gear Solid game, I guess.
Like you didn't keep going back to, like, a menu interface, like, manage your
yeah, like, all base, the stuff you did in Outer Heaven was kind of annoying. Like, oh, send the people out to fight things and research this.
All stuff was optional, though. You didn't really have to.
It was optional, but...
Yeah, just for all the talk from Kojima about, like, how this is essentially Metal Gear 5, but it wasn't. It was kind of like a really much better version of Portable Ops or something.
It's just, it's different
I think it was a... Like, it's like Portable... We're talking about Portable Ops. Portable Ops was Portable Ops, but it's as far as, like, people talk about how, like, every other game is... Actually, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. Just, like, it felt like a story that would rank... after MGS4, it definitely is a better story by far than that.
I don't know. Peace Walker, it was okay.
Well, I know who's not going to be on my Metal Gear Solid series apparently. Of Ian Niven's podcasts.
Still nowhere near Metal Gear Solid 3, I'm sorry.
Indeed.
But see, like, Birth by Sleep, which I guess is
what you play. What a great transition.
See, but Birth by Sleep, I love it because it's pretty much just like a Kingdom Hearts game. They didn't have to do anything. They didn't have to do any bullshit things to kind of make it the portable version of.
No, they just made it with 3 shorter campaigns instead of 1 long one.
Exactly.
Burn.
What's so bad about that?
Nothing really.
It's just 3 10-hour campaigns.
I was just pointing out a flaw in your.
It wasn't even a burn. Oh, that's no.
It's like a slight.
Yeah, a little sizzle.
I don't know. Kingdom Hearts Birth by Sleep feels much more like a Kingdom Hearts, like Kingdom Hearts 3. And let's say Peace Walker feels like Metal Gear Solid 5.
Does he even know what Metal Gear feels like anymore? Because MGS, has there been a series with a coherent, like, gameplay style? Like, 1, 2, and 3 were top-down, like, sort of arcade action games.
Oh, they still feel pretty similar. I mean, there's definitely, I could definitely tell.
They felt similar, but then starting with 4.
You should have a lot
more Metal Problems, Gear. We've talked enough about Metal Gear.
I want
to hear about Kingdom Hearts.
You have such a disdainful sound in your voice if you say Metal Gear Solid. You know, it seems very easy. A lot of people don't like Metal Gear Solid 4, I've discovered. Which is weird, because at the time it was getting a lot of praise.
I don't even think Hideo Kojima likes Metal Gear Solid 4, really.
I don't... What's the basis
but
for that?
We'll get into that some other time. Seriously.
Yeah. Talk about Kingdom Hearts. I want to know... You beat it, right?
Yeah. I beat it, and then instead of just... Like, I'm good at 100% the game, but instead of waiting until I did that to watch the secret trailer, I just YouTubed it. It's nice to have YouTube.
They did have a secret trailer at the end?
Mm-hmm.
It was a CG trailer. It wasn't, like, a...
It's not CG this time.
Oh, so it's an in-engine...
It's an in-engine, yeah.
With voices.
Yeah, it's long. It's 10 minutes long.
Is it for Kingdom Hearts 3?
It's for it's another not, nebulous game that's before Kingdom
it's
Hearts
more
3.
Of an epilogue to this game that kind of hits at Kingdom Hearts 3 or whatever's next than
I see.
So much as, like, with the other ones.
I shouldn't go on YouTube this right now, is what you're telling
no,
me.
No, don't.
After Break My Sleep, there was another game that wasn't Kingdom Hearts 3.
Right, well, we know Kingdom Hearts 3D is going to be next. I'm kind of hoping that's more of a spinoff than... I hope that's not going to be...
like the next proper one.
I kind of do want the PlayStation 3 version of a Kingdom Hearts game, please. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
How is Mark Hamill as Ericus or something like that?
Ericus.
Yeah,
he's
great.
He
doesn't sound like Joker at all?
No, he sounds more like his character from Castle in the Sky.
Mm.
Actually.
That was the...
I can't remember.
The main villain, right?
Right, the villain from Castle in the Sky, who he did. But no, yeah, he's good.
Speaking of Castle in the Sky, that's hitting Blu-ray in Japan, anyway.
Oh, anyway. I didn't know that. But it's, you know, last week I said I was enjoying it a lot. Honestly, I still liked it a lot because it's Kingdom Hearts, and, you know, everyone knows how I feel about Kingdom Hearts at this point. Yeah. Right? Everyone's pretty well. Mm-hmm. You're with me. I don't really have much more to say about it, except that I'll probably be playing it a lot more. You know what I will say, though? I like the fact that the game actually was challenging, and that the final bosses really were very hard and took a few tries. Good to see that these days.
So each campaign has a significant boss fight?
Oh, yeah. They have multiple significant boss fights. At the end. Yeah, at the end they all have a
final
different
pivotal
one.
Boss fight.
Yeah, they all have a different boss fight at the end.
Okay, cool.
Pretty much. I lost my train of thought. Oh, well, I guess I'm done.
How is Leonard Nimoy? I shouldn't ask at all because you're a Star Trek dude.
Oh, he's great. Yeah.
He doesn't sound like he's gonna be some awesome or something anytime soon.
He's really kind of croaking up his voice. You know what I mean?
Mm.
Kind of add a little evilness to it. I enjoy it.
I guess it works for Xenohort.
Sure.
Xenohort. How do you pronounce it?
Xehanort.
What?
Xehanort.
Okay.
Xehanort. All right, let's do the releases.
Go ahead.
All right, then. Here we go. We got Civ 5 this week. We all know that. F1 2010 for Windows 360 PS3. Darksiders released on PC. You know, not late to the party or anything. Death Bank Thongs of Virtue for 360.
And PS3.
Really? That should have come out quickly, didn't it?
Indeed.
Oh, here's that. Wasn't this on last week's Swords for the Wii?
Maybe.
Swords. Sorry. Wait,
is it
you're gonna say
the week?
I don't know. I'm not gonna.
To make the sword control perfect.
Yeah, I'm not gonna research what happened to swords.
We don't need to look that up. Keep going.
Kladden, this is an RPG. What's this?
It's sort of the same graphic style as the Batman series from Lisa.
That makes sense.
I think it's the same guys actually.
It's for the PSP. Why? I haven't heard this. This looks hilarious. It looks kind of like the Final Fantasy equivalent of 3D dot Game Heroes.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Good way to comparisons.
Etrian Odyssey 3, the Drowned City for the DS. This game has its fans. What?
You skipped it above here. High Velocity Bowling Move Edition, which is a patch to High Velocity Bowling, only available to PlayStation Plus subscribers.
Oh, I didn't see that. I kind of skipped over because I just saw bowling.
I just thought that was kind of ludicrous. But,
yeah, there
probably
it is.
Probably as if it's like the Wii or something like that.
Oh, yes, I have Brunswick Pro Bowling on the PS3, which has Move controller support, so there you go.
There you go.
Greg Hastings Paintball 2 for the 360.
The much-awaited sequel.
You know, I loved Greg Hastings Paintball 1. No. All
right. Pretty soon they'll come out with just paint next year with, like, a crazy artsy logo, and it'll say, like, Greg Hastings on the box somewhere.
And that's it. All right, everyone.
But this week, they started the PSN store imports or something like that for the PS1 games. Like the FMV Choaniki and some other game, but next week or sometime soon it's going to be Magical Dropout, which is apparently a big deal. And it looks like Nintendo Power, the recent one that came, like the newest one that came out, that they leaked that DSiWare is getting Cave Story.
Right, I saw that. Well, the Cave Story, somebody talked about it, but yeah, I did see that. And that's pretty good. Actually, I think I'd rather have Cave Story in my DSiWare than
than Choaniki.
I don't even know what that is. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find more of us at explodingbarrel.wordpress.com.
You can find me there.
No.
You can find me on thegamemavens.wordpress.com.
I was
going
to give you a chance to show your stuff.
Were you?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, people ask people and they say, you know, this is my podcast. I'm like,
You can chill your podcast. You just gotta wait till I'm done talking.
Okay,
or I'm gonna go over there and smack at you. All right, you can follow us on Twitter.com at Twitter/ExplodingBarrel and on the iTunes Music Store, and you can see us on the Zoom Marketplace. All right, Joey. Tell us about your podcast.
I kind of destroyed my good any goodwill there. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine.
Anyway,
do it.
Yeah, I got this really just a Java podcast about talking about games. Anyway, it's called the Game Mavens Podcast. The Game Mavens. Actually, just find it at tinyurl.com/GameMavens. It's easier for you there. It's rather just go to RSS feed and subscribe to it. Like through that, if you wanted to. And also, there's a Twitter feed. I don't know why you want to do that though. Just. But it's there, twitter.com/thegamemaven. Well, and there
just,
we go.
Just one maven.
And, we recently finished the first part of the Halo discussion, George Kokoris, and this weekend, if everything goes well, we'll do the second half, and then next month I'll figure out something all about Metal Gear.
I'm sure George had a lot to say about Halo.
Yeah, it was pretty enlightening.
He knows shit.
Yeah, he knows plenty of ways how to justify its mediocrity. I'm joking.
Oh,
I was joking. All right, thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next time on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Goodbye.
I'm going to go play Civ 5.